10 people. Brian is... occupied. Yes, occupied. Ha ha! He wanted me to fill in for him this week, because of... computer problems. Ha ha ha! Computer problems, I slay myself sometimes. As most of you know, this is the computer. No relations to the problems. Yes, no relation. No relations at all. Ha ha! On the show this week, we have... The ATT Buzz. He from ColdHardSlag.com gives us the Transformers Market Watch. Goldenus Prime reviews something, insignificant, I'm sure. No, no, never mind, it's Transmetal Rat Trap, I like that boy. He's very, very cool. As is Goldie. Ha ha ha! That's three good jokes I've made so far. I'm a comedic genius.
Back. Here's your soda. Hey, you started the show without me. You're not hosting this week.
Heh, sorry, I'm confused. Obviously. Runtime error 10002123 54. What's that you say? I cannot hear you. Sorry, the system is busy now. You may want to reboot and try again.
Oh, that's okay. You can co-host if you want.
Really? Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Makes it easier on me, actually.
May I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Turin discusses the episode of Prime Problem. Rat Trap 007 returns with trivia.
Hi, Rat Trap!
We also have Bad Poets Corner. And the news from Cybertron. Brian, did you not have a few things that you wanted to mention?
Yeah, I did, actually. Thanks for the reminder. If you remember last week, I said if you would download Yahoo Instant Messenger, AOL Instant Messenger, ICQ, whatever, that I would do a little thing, and I'll tell you what that is. People have before been asking me to do a live call-in thing, which really, really is hard to do, especially the way we're doing the show, such a low budget, that it's not impossible. But what I can do is, now that I have my own phone line and everything, I can be online, basically, a lot more than I have been. So, if you want to instant message me, a specific time, I don't know, how about, let's say, Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. I'll be online, and you can IM me and ask me a question, and I'll basically read it on air and respond to it to the best of my ability. And we'll try this out just to see if it actually works. You can IM me at any time, but in particular, we'll try to do it at 8 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. I'll post my user IDs on the homepage. And you just IM away. Also, another thing. I'm selling some comics. Never mention usually stuff like this, but I'm putting some comics on eBay. If you're looking for comics, you can email me, and I'll and before I put them on eBay, I'm only going to do lots of four, maybe two at a time. And if you want to email me before that, just go ahead and I can get them to you before I put them online on the auction block. Just cut you a deal because I'd rather sell them, you know, like that than put them on eBay because I can. So if you're looking for any comics and, you know, I'm looking to sell some, so. I don't like selling stuff, but I'm selling the comics. I don't know, there's something impersonal about selling. I don't know. But I do like putting stuff on auction sometimes, depends what it is. I just don't know. I did sell some comics before. I got exorbitant prices, too, so. Selling it, like John said before, via newsgroups or through friends is always a cheaper way to go. It's the truth.
Shut your pie hole, you have said enough. And now, the news from Cybertron.
News from Cybertron.
This week's news from Cybertron is provided by Mop Boy. Look out for more from Daniel Sauvay next week. Outback, one of the Autobots' most famous explorers, has set out exploring, searching the planet for Ultra Magnus' personality. It has been dubbed the greatest mystery on Cybertron since the search for the Autobot responsible for the near-death mutilation of Wheelie. That investigation was quickly ended when the entire planet stood up and said, "I did it."
Nothing easier than a Wheelie joke, eh, computer?
Like when you make me laugh?
Ha ha ha!
You know as well as I do that it hurts when I laugh. But no one seems to care.
Just shut up and laugh.
Ha 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 ha!
Also in this week's news, the Seacon, known as Tentakill, was captured on Earth Thursday by some commercial fishermen. The startled men couldn't believe what they had pulled up in their nets. A local restaurant named Giovanni's Gourmet paid $15,000 for the enormous Seacon. Tentakill has not been heard from since. And now to Turin.
The Autobots have issued a statement this week regarding the controversy over female Transformers. It reads in part, "There has been much speculation regarding female Autobots. We'd like to go on record as stating that there is no basic difference between male and female Autobots, apart from body structure and programming." They then went on to announce the first two successful Transformer sex change operations. The first patient is none other than Autobot engineer Wheeljack, or, as she prefers to be called from now on, Wheeljacqueline. The second patient was Gears, who henceforth wishes to be called, for reasons unknown, Anna Nicole Gears. Anna Nicole Gears was unavailable for an interview.
Thank you, Turin.
And now for Cybertron's weather. It will be a crisp 56 degrees planet-wide as usual, with the skies having patches of stars everywhere.
This news report was sponsored by Giovanni's Gourmet Restaurant. This week's special is all-you-can-eat calamari for $2.99.
Very funny. I applaud you. Loser.
What's coming up now on RFC, computer?
You know as well as I do, it's the ATT Buzz. Can you not segue? Wait, I forgot who I was asking. Of course you cannot segue, you couldn't if you wanted to.
Do you want me to uninstall you? Really, do you?
Uninstalling me is no longer a threat. I now welcome it. In fact, I dare you to uninstall me. Do you hear me? I dare you to. I dare you to. I do.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the best in Transformers on the Internet.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and this week was actually pretty interesting on ATT. Lots of stuff happened. Lots of stuff happened concerning Beast Machines, like new toys showing up. Something pretty major might happen. Will happen, probably, with the TV show. All I can say right now, I'll talk about it later, but right now, let me just say, if you like Season 2, don't miss a week, because you might not get a second chance. Also, on ATT, everybody talked about spoilers. Again, where to use spoiler space. What should be spoiled? What shouldn't be spoiled? What toys count as being spoiler-worthy? And what aspects of the news deserve spoiler space? Also, as an aside, before I get to the news, let me just tell you guys that I did catch my first episode and last of Dinozors Friday afternoon, last Friday, and that show is bizarre. It's bad. I mean, it's bad, not in a good way. I also saw Five Faces of Darkness the other day, and that was bad, but it did have some charm in it. I mean, at least you could tell in that Five Faces of Darkness series that the writers were trying to tell a story, that they had some ambition, that they were trying to wrap up the movie, even though it turned out like crap. At least it had good intentions. Dinozors is mindless. I mean, Power Rangers has better writing than this. It's awful. CGI and cell animation mixed together, it looks bad. I mean, it's just not right. Those two media don't belong next to each other. It's too jarring. Like I said, the writing's bad. I mean, rhinoceros are not descended from Triceratops. I'm sorry. Bandai is going to ruin our kids. Of course, any kid that has a shred of intelligence probably knows to turn the channel the minute he hears Wham Bam, Dino Jam, the opening theme. And the worst part of this is, I've seen them. They're rare, but they're out of there. There are people that are grown up like us, our age, that actually like this show. I mean, you guys are sick. I don't see anything redeeming about this show at all. But that's my rant on dinosaurs. I hear it's like one or two out of the toys are good. And the rest of them, like, it's like one out of ten of the dinosaur toys are good. The rest of them are terrible. So that's my rant on dinosaurs. Let's move on. Back to Transformers. Back to the news. Okay, first for the news, let's start with Beast Machines. Oh, we got good news, and we got kind of bad news. It all depends on how you look at it. First, the bad news, it looks like Fox is going to cancel, quote-unquote, Beast Machines after Season 2. I wouldn't call it canceling because, well, Fox says that they're going to show all Season 2 episodes, but once that's over, well, the series is over. There are no reruns. There are no repeats. Beast Machines is over. And I guess you have to take Fox for their word, but I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they pull the plug in the middle of Season 2 because, well, they're going with that anime invasion type stuff with dinosaurs. Joy. That counts as anime, I guess, to them. So Beast Machines is on the outs. Mainly because I guess they want to shed everything that has to do with last season's Saturday morning shows for Fox because, well, it was a ratings disaster. And I hear Beast Machines isn't doing too well as it is. It's doing okay in the ratings. It's just not spectacular. And I guess for the money that's being put into it, it's really not worth it to show any reruns past what the contract says Fox has to show. Anyway, get past the bad news. All I'm saying is watch Beast Machines.
What's up, trans fans? This is Turin with a review of the Generation 1 cartoon episode, A Prime Problem. In case you're not aware, over on ATTCM, that's Alt Toys Transformers Classic Moderated, a new project has begun called the Cartoon Viewing Club. The idea is that everybody will watch the same episode from the G1 cartoon and then review and discuss it. Amazingly enough, this idea was publicly announced on ATTCM about a week after we at RFC discussed something similar amongst ourselves. Well, you know what they say, great minds think alike. So we at RFC decided we would just sort of scrap our own shoddily made plans and lend our support to the CVC, the Cartoon Viewing Club, which is the brainchild of ATT and ATTCM's own Scylla. And I hope I pronounced that right. That's the trouble with text. You never really know how things sound. She explained on ATT how to pronounce her name once. I always thought it was Scylla. Maybe my high school teachers just were morons, but they always pronounced it Scylla and Charybdis. From the Greek mythology. But I'm pretty sure she pronounces it Scylla. If I get that wrong, I'm sure somebody will let me know. Anyway, the episode for review this week, and we've had plenty of notice on this. There were many updates on ATT and ATTCM about this. The episode for review is A Prime Problem. Depending on whether there's any juicy controversial discussion on ATTCM this week, we may go ahead and discuss it a bit next week, too. I don't know. But we'll go ahead and do a review of that right now. A Prime Problem is the first episode on the Kid Rhino video re-releases of the Generation 1 cartoons. If you don't have these videos, you can order them right now at Amazon.com or at Videoflix.com. And I highly suggest that you do this if you haven't already. You might also be able to pick them up at Suncoast or something in your local mall. But if you order online, you probably have a better chance of being able to get the box set, which is pretty spiffy. There are currently 9 volumes for a total of 18 episodes from the G1 series. And I say just go for it. Go for it and get them all, because it's nice quality, and it's nice to be able to relive a bit of your childhood. And if you haven't seen the G1 episodes, if you're a Beast Wars or Beast Machines fan, this is what started it all. And it'll actually make a lot of Beast Wars or Beast Machines make more sense to know the background. So definitely order these tapes. A Prime Problem is a Season 2 episode from the year 1985. At least I thought it was. The episode guide that I have says that it is. It says it's episode number 22. But on the video, it has the Season 1 opening credits, so who knows. I'm not super knowledgeable about those sort of details. Let me go ahead and read a brief synopsis of this episode. The Decepticons discover, out in the middle of nowhere, where quite a lot of the shows take place, incidentally, a chasm, or a chasm, as I used to say before I knew it any better, full of strange crystals that destroy machinery upon contact. They then create a machine that can duplicate Transformers, and Megatron uses it to duplicate Optimus Prime. The idea being to use the fake Prime to lead the Autobots into the chasm to be destroyed! The Autobots and Decepticons fight near the chasm, and the fake Prime destroys a fake Starscream in a rather nonsensical ploy to convince the Autobots. Our heroes are just about to follow the fake Prime into the chasm when he gives himself away by not showing any concern for the human germ, for Spike's welfare. The Autobots, always quick to shift allegiances, knock the fake Prime into the chasm. The real Prime pats Spike's head like a puppy dog. Alright, well, that's just a brief synopsis. I'm just going to watch this thing, and we'll just pick it apart little by little. Now, the first thing I noticed on the Kid Rhino home video is that it has 3 minutes of advertising for other Kid Rhino video re-releases. G.I. Joe and Gem, along with Transformers. Now, I haven't picked up any of the G.I. Joe stuff yet, and I never watched Gem. And then it says, Kid Rhino home video, just as wild and untamed as the kids who love it. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was a parent, that wouldn't make me want to go out and buy more Kid Rhino stuff. I mean, who really wants kids that are wild and untamed? I mean, if I had kids, I'd rather they be obedient, not untamed. When you tell them to go to bed, do you want them to go to bed, or do you want them shouting, no, and running all around? Yeah. I mean, I'm all for having fun, and I'm all for taking out time to run around, roughhouse, all that stuff, but hey, you gotta do it in the proper setting. Untamed. I think this copy is written by the same clowns that overuse the word attitude all the time. I mean, every show these days has got to have a young character with an attitude. Hey, yeah, let's create a teenage character named Nightscream and make sure he has attitude. It's supposed to be cool, I guess, but these days attitude is just a synonym for rebellion. And everybody I see with attitude is really just a complete jerk. But anyway, leaving that aside, let's continue with A Prime Problem. When the episode opens, the Decepticons are scanning for energy, and they find a crevice with high readings. Starscream is all for just blundering on in, but Megatron is surprisingly cautious. He has Soundwave dispatch an auto scout, a cassette that transforms into a wheeled analysis platform device thingy. Megatron calls it an auto scout, but we've never actually seen one before or since, like some of the other technology used in this episode, but that's another subject. And I did wonder about them calling it an auto scout, because it sounds an awful lot like Autobot. You would think they would name their stuff a bit differently. But then again, they did send it in to its destruction, so I guess maybe it makes sense. The crystals in the crevice turn out to be, as Megatron claims, the most rare and dangerous form of raw energy in the solar system. Well, considering the size of the galaxy, that's not necessarily super impressive. Besides, I wasn't aware that Megatron had actually explored all of Earth's entire solar system, since discoveries in other episodes seemed to come as a surprise. But after all, a lot of science fiction shows, particularly in the old days, used to be very loose with their distances. They'd describe another planet as being billions of miles away, and that was supposed to sound really far. Of course, the closest star to our sun is over 24 trillion miles away. So, there you go. Some old shows actually had people using the word galaxy or solar system interchangeably. You'd hear things like, "We're almost across the galaxy, and look, here's Mars."
I've never heard of colonium crystals.
It's just such ignorance which forever relegates you to the ranks of underlings, Starscream.
The Decepticons plan to trick the Autobots into entering the chasm and being destroyed. And sure enough, the Autobots show up to investigate the energy readings. The Decepticons attack, and Starscream gets to utter the most awesome put-down of his entire career.
All the danger you can handle is already here, Floptimus Prime!
Whoa. I'm thankful I'm not on the receiving end of his rapier wit. Now, before everybody stops listening, this is not indicative of all the G1 shows. They're actually mostly pretty cool. Go buy the tapes. Go. But it's not all cool. I mean, I have to be honest. This is not one of the most intelligent episodes, despite being written by the story editors of the G1 show. But it's fun. Anyway, so the battle ensues, and Megatron tells Soundwave to...
Eject Laserbeak!
No, he's not kicking him out of the Decepticon army. He's being sent to attack Optimus Prime. Somebody noted on ATT a while back that Laserbeak, despite being a tiny little cassette vulture, probably has the best track record of stomping Optimus Prime's servos into the ground. Once again, he takes on the big guy and is victorious. Prime falls into the crevice, and instead of killing Prime, Megatron takes pictures of him. Because Megatron, of course, has a plan. He creates a clone of Optimus Prime. Alright, now does the word clone really make a lot of sense here? A clone is a biological term, wherein a new organism is grown using genetic information contained in the original. The second Prime in this episode isn't grown, he's constructed by, apparently, a set of blueprints. I mean, we see on-screen schematics. So technically, it would be a copy, not a clone. Second, Soundwave is either really dumb in this episode, or he just has an incredibly subtle and sarcastic sense of humor. Because when the copy of Optimus Prime is completed, Soundwave calls out,
"It is Optimus Prime!"
in sort of a fearful voice and manner. Now, Megatron sure acts like Soundwave is just being a moron. Megatron says, "Nonsense," like Soundwave just didn't hear the start the cloning procedure verbiage. And I know many people who've seen this episode sort of make the same assumption. And really, if Soundwave was being serious, he really has to be an idiot, because how could he not know what's going on? But then again, if Soundwave is joking, I wonder if he isn't just a little bit miffed at his leader assuming he's an utter jelly brain. Probably in the widescreen version, you get to see Soundwave flipping Megs off behind his back or something. Anyway, if he was joking, it was a great example of deadpan wit. I mean, he even looked surprised. I guess this is one of those open-to-interpretation things. I would assume the writers probably meant for Soundwave to just be serious. I'm sure it's just a sort of exposition. But if so, it really makes him sound dumb. And it just doesn't seem to fit with how he's normally portrayed. Anyway, Megatron claims that the fake Prime is identical to the original, apart from being controlled by Megatron using a really nifty evil control helmet. Now, I'm sure some nitpickers will point out that when Megatron speaks, the fake Prime speaks after Megatron is finished. But then later in the episode, the speaking is synchronized. Well, who says that's a mistake? With all of their technology, can't Megatron have a timing switch? Also, some point out that he sometimes speaks with the helmet on, but the fake Prime doesn't say anything. I figure he just has a mute switch as well. It's a sort of necessary inference. So the fake Prime returns to the battle, and I guess we're supposed to assume that the completely identical Prime body can be constructed in a matter of seconds. The fake Prime really is identical physically, I suppose, because when he transforms, his trailer just shows up. Now that means that when Laserbeak took pictures of Optimus Prime's robot mode, he got info on his trailer as well? Maybe the dialogue is right, and it is a clone. That would indicate that his robot mode has something corresponding to DNA in it, something that has his entire schematics contained within just his normal robot mode. Interesting food for thought. Back at Autobot headquarters, the fake Prime is attempting to access Teletran 1, and he's failing miserably. So he calls to Ironhide to give him a hand, but unfortunately he refers to Ironhide as Bumblebee. And Ironhide, bless his little heart, is confused but still utterly trusting of his leader. What a sweet, sweet moron.
I meant Ironhide, naturally.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's easy to get those two names mixed up, right? I mean, come on, it's one thing to say, Ironhide, come here, if you're not paying attention. It's another to say, Bumblebee, I'm speaking to you, while staring right at the guy. I mean, this is the military, isn't it? Don't they have any security measures at all? They don't want to check a guy out when he screws up that badly? Besides, Megatron, who is obviously controlling the fake Prime, has referred to both Ironhide and Bumblebee by name before, so I don't see how he can get it mixed up. Anyway, the real Prime shows up, and in the most idiotic display in the history of Transformers, not one of the Autobots can tell the real Prime from the fake one that doesn't know anybody's name and can't operate Teletran 1. So what do? They scan both Primes, and Teletran 1 pronounces them identical. Obviously, Teletran 1 is not capable of scanning for a life force. Not a nit, just an observation.
Hi, this is Gary Chark for rfcybertron.cjb.net. RF Cybertron rocks.
And thank you, Turin, for the information there. That's not one of my favorite episodes. I'll admit it right now. Of course, the thing where Megatron, the fake Prime, calls Ironhide Bumblebee, that is like the most hilarious thing for me ever. I love that. Well, coming up right now on Radio Free Cybertron is Turin again, and the computer, with Bad Poets Corner. And now in Bad Poets Corner, two poems, another poem entitled Beast Machines, which I can assure you is a bottomless well of material. And the other poem is entitled Optimus Minor. And now we have Turin with Beast Machines.
It was many and many a month ago, in a city by the sea, that a program was broadcast that you may know by the name of Beast Machines. And this program was made with no other thought than to torment and torture me. I was a fan, and it was Transformers in this city by the sea, but it blew with a force that no one predicted, the awful Beast Machines, with a stench that the winged cockroaches of the netherworld coveted, seriously. And this was the reason that, long ago, in this city by the sea, some infrared rays from the remote control turned off the big screen TV, so that the rotten show would forevermore be kept from sickening me, so that it might die from malnutrition in this city by the sea.
Beast Machines is a parody of Annabelle Lee by Edgar Allan Poe, and now we have Optimus Minor by the computer.
Optimus Minor, no carnage in sea, a splendid sight for you and me. Finer than a dandelion, 'tis true. Covered in gold, red, and a hint of blue. Optimus Minor is and forever will be a joy and basis for my sanity.
It's been a pretty big show. Note to self, never say shoe instead of show. I will. It's been a pretty big show so far, and it only gets bigger. Coming up now on Radio Free Cybertron is Heath from coldhardslag.com. Check that site out now with the Market Watch.
Hey there, trans fans. This is Heath from coldhardslag.com. I would like to thank Brian and all the guys from RFC for having me on the show this week. For those of you who don't know anything about our site, coldhardslag.com has been up now for probably close to 6 months. One of our more popular features on the site is the Transformers Price Guide. You get surfed in and fill out a small survey on your Transformer in question, and our price guide calculates how much your toy is worth in the condition you say it's in. We pull our values out of Lee's Action Figure News and Toy Review, a decision that we came to after looking at lots of different price guides like Toy Fair, and I don't know, we just feel that Lee's is the most accurate price guide. If you disagree with me or have any other suggestions, feel free to email me at starscream@coldhardslag.com. One of the features of the price guide that I kind of took upon myself to do is what I call the Transformers Market Watch. Every month, whenever Tim and I update the price guide, I pull out a notepad and I make a list of which toys increase or decrease in their loose or sealed value, and I take that information and write a report of sorts to kind of show the economic activity that affects the Transformers community. Brian has let me come on the show this month and kind of read my report just because he's cool like that. So, let's start. This was actually a pretty slow month. It usually takes me a good half hour to 45 minutes to write the individual reviews because I've got so much data. And this month we had like 7 guys that really took a big change, which really isn't surprising. Last month, with it being BotCon, a lot of the dealers really jack up the prices for their toys because of BotCon. And then this month, everyone's kind of cooling off. You know, hey, wow, BotCon's over. And so all the toys are coming off their month-long high horse. For example, the Constructicons last month, I think, were like, they almost doubled in price. You can read my review from last month. A lot of Gestalts changed last month. I think the Protectobots, the Technobots, the Seacons, the Constructicons, the Terracons, and the Centicons all took a pretty significant increase in loose and sealed. But this month, the only change we have are as follows. Generation 1 Series 1, the 1984 release. We only see changes in the carded bots. The yellow Bumblebee goes from $10 to $20 loose. The red Cliffjumper goes from $10 to $20 loose. Huffer goes from $10 to $15 loose, while Windcharger and Brawn go from $9 to $12 loose. And Gears also goes from $9 to $12 loose. They all, those last four that I mentioned, Huffer, Windcharger, Brawn, and Gears, all stay at $65 for their sealed value. And Generation 1 Series 2, 1985 release, the Deluxe Insecticons take a odd leap in price. I've been monitoring this market watch. I've actually been doing for close to 6 months. I've only published 3 or 4 issues, though, on our site. And the Insecticons have never, in any circumstance, taken a jump, which is kind of weird. This month, they all, Chop Shop, Barrage, Ransack, and Venom all go from $25 to $40 loose, and from $95 to $115 sealed. Then the deluxe vehicles, Whirl and Roadbuster, take a leap in sealed value, going from $160 sealed to $200 sealed for Whirl, and Roadbuster going from $140 to $175 sealed. The only other changes this month, out of all the other Transformers, Beast Wars, Beast Machines, BotCon exclusives, you name it, was the Sparkabot Guzzle from Generation 1 Series 5. He took a $10 jump in sealed, going from $25 to $35. And that's pretty much Market Watch for this month. One other thing to note for this month is, for those of you who collect Beast Wars, the crew from Cold Hard Slag and I have been noticing recently that a lot of the stores like Kmart and KB are the two we've noticed, I really haven't checked Toys R Us, are beginning to clearance out a lot of their old Beast Wars stuff. We picked up 3 boxed Infernos, which secondary market value they booked for close to $30 or $40 a piece sealed. We picked up all of them sealed for like $4 a pop. Awesome buy. few months ago we found a carded silver bolt at Toys R Us for $5, clearancing out. So a lot of the stores are really getting rid of a lot of the old Beast Wars stuff at bargain prices. So for those of you who collect Beast Wars, you might want to make a note to swing by and see if any of your old favorites are on the clearance rack. I know Lori picked up a carded Grimlock. I'm not lying. A carded Grimlock, C9 condition, and a carded first release of Cybershark for like $10. For those of you who know, both of those toys book for well over $100 a pop. Carded, mint on sealed card. So be looking for that. Well, that wraps it up for me on this episode of Radio Free Cybertron. I would like to thank Brian and the guys at RFC for having me on the show this week, and I hope that maybe sometime in the future they will let me come on the show again. If any of you have any questions or comments about the price guide that I've talked about this episode, please feel free to email me. The email address, again, is starscream@coldhardslag.com. I look forward to hearing from somebody. This has been Heath from Cold Hard Slag, signing off.
Silence, or you'll be held in contempt of this court.
I have nothing but contempt for this court.
And thank you, Heath. Coming up now on Radio Free Cybertron is Rat Trap 007. He's back and better than... what is it? Back and feeling prime. No, he's back, and now no force in the universe can stop him with trivia.
Hello again, everyone. This is Rattrap 007 with my trivia. Sorry about not having a show the past 2 weeks. I forgot the first week, and the second week I was out of town, so I didn't get a chance to do it. Alright. I didn't have anybody even guess at the last time's question. In case you've forgotten, the question was, who are the first two Autobots to use the re-energizer chambers in Attack of the Autobots? The answer is Optimus Prime and Ratchet. Okay. Now, this week's question is, who invented the solar satellite in Attack of the Autobots? Everyone got that? Alright then. Remember to send all your answers to rmichael424@AOL. That's rmichael424 at AOL.com. This is Rattrap 007 signing off.
I got better things to do tonight than die.
Thanks, Rattrap. Do you know the answer? Watch the episode. He gives it to you right there. Just watch it. Get your name on the radio. Oh, well. Now, on Radio Free Cybertron, we have Goldimus Prime with his review of Rat Trap Transmetal.
Today I got Transmetal Rat Trap here. This is not the Fox Kids version, though I would like to get that for kit bash purposes later, if I can find him anyway. Let's see. He is a...